On this Welcome Back Sunday, we are faced with a foundational text of the Christian faith, one that is both challenging and inspiring. Jesus asks his friends, "Who do you say that I am?" Challenging because perhaps we, like Jesus' friends, were not sure of what to say. And inspiring because God really cares that we are part of the divine story, that we engage the question. Not a bad text to consider on this day. In fact, we might even think of it as God's gift to us, a gift to unwrap on Welcome Back Sunday. What does it have to teach us about who we are as a community of faith? As we're getting back into the rhythm of the school year and the program year here at church, it might be enlightening to answer Jesus' question and see how our answers have an impact, how our answers as individuals and as a church community have an impact on our lives and our life together. Today I will reflect primarily about our life together. But we would have no life together if we, as individuals, did not believe something about God, about Jesus, about the Spirit that keeps us coming back again and again to church, to this great adventure that we share as people of faith on a quest together. So how do we answer the question? How does what we do answer the question? That well-known phrase, actions speak louder than words. When people look at our church, who we are, what we do, do they know how we answer that question of who Jesus is for us? Can they tell by looking at us? If they had a chance to visit our ministry fair today after the service, or if they could be here with us for, say, a month, and see all the different things that we're about in that time, what would they think? Well, they'd see information and they'd see us about our work with those in need through the many ways we do that. The food pantry, Christ Families, outreach to the village of Mzula in Tanzania. All this points to a desire to serve Christ by serving our neighbors. Our belief that Jesus came to help and to seek and to save. They would see our rich worship life, our prayer life, what we do on Sundays, and what we do at other times with healing services, centering prayer services, our choir, our music, our altar guild. All of this points to our desire to deepen our relationship with God, believing that relationship with God is possible, that Christ is alive, that God, Jesus, the Spirit call forth from us love and praise. They would see all the formation opportunities through education on Sundays, through weekday Bible studies, spiritual direction groups, and all this points to our desire to grow in our knowledge and love of Christ, believing that Jesus cares about this and that it is possible. They would see our care for the property, our focus on giving generously to support this church in all its ways, and what we do for others through our incarnation, in a sense, of being church in this place. It all points to our desire to be good stewards of the resources God has given us, knowing that and believing that God is creator of all. They would see our prayer shawls that we just blessed, our prayer lists, our meal ministry to those recovering from surgery or ill, which points to our desire to be part of Christ's mission of healing and compassionate care. They would see that this church has a rector again, which, yeah, it's good stuff, right? Which points to our desire to trust God, to have hope, to forgive the past, and move into God's future as a community. That our faith helps us make this commitment, that we believe in resurrection, that we believe God does make all things new. All this, and so much that I've not been able to name, or we'd be here all morning, all afternoon, all this says what we believe about Jesus, who we say Jesus is. It shows so much about our beliefs about God and our belief that God is with us. No one church would try to do all this and so much more without believing that God is with us and that we are called and that we are about God's work, God's mission, God's transformation of the world. And Jesus is the one who shows us how this is done. Jesus names his plans, his sense of who he is for God, when he read from the prophet Isaiah in the temple on that day, the day when he surprised everyone, astounded them by saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." It is a great thing to have faith and belief. But as the letter of James says, faith without works is dead. The full verse from that chapter, chapter 2, verse 26, states, "Just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead." Just as our spirit is dynamic in the world, so too our faith is dynamic in the world when we are about the things of God. And answering Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" through our actions. And as Jesus is reported to have said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, "Not everyone who says they know me does know me." I'm paraphrasing a bit. "Not everyone who says they know me does know me. You will know those who do know me by their fruits. You will know the ones who have a relationship with me by what they do." When we consider this church, this community of faith, what we do, this points to who we say Jesus is. The one who brings us together, the one who is a healer, the one who seeks justice for the poor, the one who gives us hope and strength, the one who calls us to be Christ for others and for us in our church and others in the wider community. We reflect what we believe about God and how we move forward, even when we're not sure where the destination will be or what it will look like. "Take up your cross and follow me," Jesus says. Not that we will be able to control or fix the world. Taking up our cross and following Jesus means letting go of control. Doing when we know that, in fact, we will never be done. But by so doing, we embody Christ, the one who calls us to take up our cross. We embody Christ in the world and for the world. And that is important, and it makes a difference. Such a commitment to Jesus, to God's desire for us and our world, this is what God welcomes us back to again and again, welcomes us back. God is always welcoming us back. In what we hear today of Jesus' exchange with Peter, we have a great example of one who got the answer right. "You are the Messiah," but then got the next part wrong. Peter couldn't imagine the future to which Jesus was calling him. This is the sort of reaction to who Jesus is that Verna Dozier writes about in her wonderful book, The Dream of God, A Call to Return. She writes, "I believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, by whom the reign of God has been made known, and he whom the institutional church, from the resurrection community to this present day, has rejected since the day of his death in favor of something more reasonable, something more controlled and more controllable, something more human. Last Sunday, I discussed justice for the working poor. I said that we are here to share with each other and the world what we believe about God and what we can discern, limited as we may be, about what God's dream is for the world. Peter was hearing God's dream for the world, which was going to most likely involve the suffering and death of Jesus, as we know it did. Suffering, death, rising again. Peter could not get his head around it. It was nothing he had ever seen. Jesus says, "Get out of my way then. Get behind me, Satan. Don't set your mind on what you already know, Peter, human things, but set your mind on what you cannot possibly know fully, divine things." Peter couldn't imagine it. So in that moment, he could not go there with Jesus. But later, Jesus would welcome Peter back. Welcome back. In many ways, the dream of God is beyond our understanding, and that's just how it is. Given that, we are called to follow the dream, trust in God, knowing it's going to feel awkward or scary or unfamiliar sometimes, and that's okay. We follow the dream based on what we do know, through what we know about Jesus, who he says he is, and what we know about God at work in the world before Jesus and to this very moment. Based on what we know, we follow the dream of God, as individuals and as a community. And we do this not by seeing clearly the road ahead, but by taking one step at a time. One day at a time, we live into the dream. We can even become God's dream for the world. Amen.